council members, and good morning our colleagues from other provinces, and good morning the delegation from the health department led by the DG. And can we, for purposes of those members who might not know, some of us, let's do the normal thing, introducing ourselves to this meeting. let's start here with Honorable Makunyan.
My name is Thabo Makunyan, from Limpopo. I'm part of the NCOP.
Mata Lavroso, Mpumalanga.
Pinky Mube, Province of Gold.
Bukito Ranzo, Eastern Cape.
Willem Faber from the Northern Cape, and I welcome Red Riding Hood next to me.
Maggie Governor, the course in yourself.
Good morning, everybody. Michael Davalius from the Western Cape.
Dr. Jonas Ramos from the Free State.
Jumela Mamutu Makati from the Northwest.
Go on, Sean.
Good morning. I'm Sean Whiting, the researcher, one of the researchers for the committee.
Good morning, members. My name is Gary Rada, and I'm the legal advisor for the committee.
I'm Craig Mogo from the Ministry of Health.
Good morning.
I'm Police from the 2000.
My name is Rufuna Makoshi from the Health Services National Department.
Good morning. Sipi Soparati from the National Department of Health, responsible for mental health.
Good morning, honorable members, honorable chair, and precious members of the Research General of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. Let me all welcome you to this meeting. You will remember that this is a continuation of the meeting that started last week, where we parted on a very unhappy note, where this presentation was made on this mental health care amendment bill. There was a major confusion with the taking of the bill. So the department and the legal advisors, both from the parliament and also state law advisors, address, I had to go back and correct that and come back to this committee so that we can proceed with this work that is before us. And before I hand over to the department leader, you must also remember that there were questions that were asked last week that you still, you are expected to still respond to those questions. There might be additional or following questions that will be asked today. I will allow members to use the best opportunity to do that. Before I go, I hand over to the department, let me take this opportunity to announce that the DG of Health, Ms. Matsuso, Ms. Matsuso has been elected in the executive board of WHO World Health Organization. Yeah, she's representing the country in that board as as a vice chair. So I think it's very Yeah. Thank you very much, members. Let me hand over to the district to lead us in this presentation.
Thank you, honorable members. I would like to just say for the record, we apologize for the confusion last week, and that we also recognize that it causes delay and it affects the working of committee. We have before us the legal opinion. I'm hoping that it has shared with the committee and that this matter has now been clarified. Honorable members, the briefing has been made and thanks for the matter that was a concern to you. But I thought I'd use this opportunity maybe just to give a brief overview to say that the chapters that we are largely dealing with in this bill is chapter 4, chapter 6, and chapter 7.
Excuse me, Titi, before you go to that overview, let's first take members through the changes that have been made. Yeah, legal opinion, yes.
Perhaps maybe let me ask the lawyer, the state law advisor to assist with this legal opinion. You don't have it. Okay.
Should be classified as such
and that the JTM must make the following finding, that in terms of joint rule 160 of 4 of the JTM finds that the bill is at section 76 and should be dealt with in terms of section 3, and that it includes no provision which the procedures prescribed in section 75 of the Constitution apply, is constitutionally and procedurally in order, and that in terms of the joint rule 165A, the JTM finds that the bill contains no provision pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities in accordance with section 18.1A of the traditional leadership and governance framework. So in terms of this provision, the bill is therefore classified as a 76 bill. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. May I allow members who want to make comments to accept that we proceed as a result? Okay. Yes, Honorable Borato.
Thank you, Chair. We are happy that the matter has been cleared and we are ready now to listen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, it looks like the committee does accept the, this opinion that has been presented to us. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. Can you take us through your overview and also responses on the questions of the post last week?
Thank you, Chair. The first, I just wanted to say to the members that this bill is mainly a bill that deals with the following chapters, mainly chapters 6 and 7, but because there are provisions in the Mental Health and Act of the Health Review Board, there are also provisions in the National Health Act. So we have to make amendments to make the two laws to be consistent. Chair, just to say that the law allows the Director General to approve that state patients should be transferred to public facilities. Now that is in implementation of decisions of magistrates. And in doing that, the administrative process is actually done within the department. And in considering the workload that currently resides with the Director General, our request is that there be an amendment that allows for delegation of functions. We see these as delegations that are necessary, but only in as far as they can be allowed administratively to be at a senior level, but also technically, to also reside with the technically competent people, meaning it should not just be an administrative delegation to push paper, but it also has to be matched with a competent people. So we were suggesting it's actually a minor amendment, and I thought I should present it. The bill does not deal with substantive issues about overall mental health services. We do, however, have a separate presentation which is not related to the bill whatsoever with regard to the provision of mental health services in South Africa, which is a separate presentation. Tomorrow we will be presenting before the Portfolio Committee on mental health services and the obligations that South Africa has in terms of our other international agreements and the World Health Organization resolution. So that is a separate presentation. We are doing it tomorrow. If the committee would like us to come at an appropriate stage, we can come back and do the presentation and share some of the services that are planned for mental health. So I thought I should just present this. This is just a minor amendment about delegation of function from the Director General to officials. I'll hand over to the officials specifically for the questions. Mr. Pagan.
Maybe just to say, I would like to start off maybe just to highlight the various categories of what we call mental health care users. Ordinarily, anyone who is mentally ill will receive mental health services from various levels, general health care practitioners, mental health practitioners, psychologists, social workers, and all that, voluntarily. And in the Act, there are those categories who seek help voluntarily are defined as voluntary mental health cases. That's the first category. I just want to start with it broadly. The Act then also provided for a certain category which is called assisted mental health cases. This could be somebody, I've used the case of common cases, somebody suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia. They cannot consent to care, but do not refuse going for treatment. Their relatives think that they are not well. They seek the help of health professionals. The person is not refusing to receive them. They can be admitted in the facility as assisted mental health care. So the Act provides for that category. The third category that the Act provides for is involuntary mental health care users. This is a person who hasn't got competence and capacity to make a decision, but in terms of the criteria, they may be a danger to self and others, and therefore need to be admitted arbitrarily. The Act provides for that third category. The other category, which the DG has mentioned here, is the state patients, which we are seeking the delegations on. The facilities where the state patients are kept are designated in terms of Section 41 of the Mental Health Care Act, specifically a small number in this subset that I'm talking about. And as the DG says in the presentation we are making in the portfolio committee, we make the point that in society, largely the majority of people will suffer from what we call common mental disorder, so they will seek treatment voluntarily. Then there is a subset of people who suffer from severe psychiatric conditions. It's about 1 to 2% in the population. These are your schizophrenics, the overt conditions that we people normally ascribe to mental illness. So the facilities for state patients, because of the security concerns of going through the processes in the Criminal Procedures Act, Section 77, 78, and 79, the court makes a decision that this person must be admitted as a state patient because they couldn't, they cannot be held responsible for the alleged offense that they committed. When the court issues that order, the DG is required in terms of Section 42 to identify a facility where these state patients must be kept. And these are the facilities which are designated in terms of Section 42. The other category of mental health care users are mentally ill prisoners. I want to request that members just know that there's a distinction. Sometimes there's confusion between state patients and mentally ill prisoners. Mentally ill prisoners are a category of people who, after they've been sentenced, incarcerated, they then develop a mental illness while in prison. The Mental Health Care Act provided due process for how to deal with that category. From Section 49 of the Act. The head of the detention center or prison will then request two mental health practitioners to conduct an assessment. If it is found that positively the person is ill, they then report to the magistrate and the magistrate issues an order that the mentally ill prisoner then should be transferred to a health establishment, which is designated in terms of Section 49. So these are the categories maybe just to talk about intellectual disability, Department of Health, in terms of the legislation, was provided a responsibility to look after those who are severe and profoundly intellectually disabled. So these are the categories that the Act covers. So this group we're talking about, as I say, it's just a subset in our records, electronically that we keep, they've just crossed over 6,000. We admit about 150 to 200 state patients each year. After they've been admitted, in the first year, the DG is required to evaluate the reports that the psychiatric hospital submit to the National Department of Health. So the report comes twice a year, 6 months. In the subsequent years, the report is once a year. The hospitals report to the DG on the care process, reintegration, rehabilitation, the patient doing well. Should we be approaching the high courts to request that we then discharge them conditionally back to society and reintegrate them or not? So the DG must make this kind of fact. She has to obtain all the clinical information, the treatment, the program that the person has been put on, the risk profile and all that. And then the reports are sent to the High Court chair, because these people are looked after by the criminal justice system. Now, in the questions that my colleagues who were here indicated, there was a question whether provincial departments, the provincial health, has a responsibility with the state patient. I just want to simply say that in terms of the Mental Health Care Act, the decision was that the state patients remain a national competence. So that's the response. While the state patients, yes, are kept in provincial hospitals, it allows for rehabilitation and treatment closer to home where they come from, reintegration with the family. But in terms of the legal due process, it remains a national function, and it was delegated to the DG. Just to say that for those who may have researched briefly going back, you will recall that this category of patients used to be called state president's patients. At a point in time, the legal due process was between the High Court and the state president. You know the history of the 73 Act if you go back to that. Subsequent years, this responsibility was made a Minister of Health function, but because of these administrative cumbersome processes, when the 2000 Act was passed, this function was further brought down to the Director General. What in terms of implementation was picked up, but again it is becoming quite a cumbersome process. As the DG sits here, as I speak, High Court are sending the decision in terms of Section 42. We have to find her wherever she is to sign and consent for the transfer. Second component is the period of time. If she's out of the country for 5 days and she's all over, she has to drive around with boxes of funds to try and find it. So provinces haven't got a response. It's a national process in terms of the responsibility for state patients. There was a question, I will ask the DG just to hang on it. I think around the criteria she will use to identify the official that she will delegate.
Yes, thank you. With regard to the criteria, I have categorized this into two components. The first is the administrative one, that it has to be someone senior enough, a senior manager, but not lower than a level of a director in the department. And secondly, the criteria, the second aspect would be the technical aspect, which will have to be, firstly, a person will have to have either a psychiatric nurse, or psychologist. So they have to meet at least any of the three criteria. So those would be either administrative and technical.
Okay.
but they'll have to comply with both.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, responses have been given to our questions. I'm not sure whether there are new questions or follow-up questions. I will allow that to happen. Let me start with Honorable Bupape, then you go around. Over to you.
I remember I asked a question. I think it's just a question of being empowered, of being given more information as to how the department would then deal with that. I asked now just to go back if you remember that there is a case in question that has not been actually settled as yet because the so-called perpetrator, the one who actually engineered the death of this Divani woman, is still in the UK. And he said not to be in a very stable mind. I was just wanting to find out how in the case you will deal with it, because he said not to be in a stable mind as we speak. How is he going to be... if he comes in, how is that case going to be dealt with? If it cannot be answered because of some other reasons that have got to do with justice, I would invite the department not to answer. Another question that I asked is just a question of the running of and the efficiency of running and taking that decision of that patient really being a state president and being endorsed as a state president. I was saying, can there be a unit, where that unit deals particularly with the so-called state patients that are being brought in for approval? You mentioned the fact that you have a load of about 4,000. If that is 4,000, it's understood that you really cannot deal with that, given the bulk of the work that you have. That we understand, given health as a responsibility which is so huge. Or are you not looking at creating a unit of people who are then particularly dealing with that matter? I think that question was not answered. Thank you.
Honorable
Broto. Okay, thank you, Chair. Mine is on this... there was something mentioned about the cause. It's just that we don't have a good background of how this mental act actually is. And maybe the presentation that is going to be done at a later stage should have come before we actually had this bill, so that we really understand these referrals, what is a state patient, and so on. We are just grappling to actually understand that. But there was something mentioned about the cause, and then saying that it must be, the patient must be in a state facility. How do the cause get in? Just for my understanding, well, how do the cause come in there? And then in as far as the criteria, well, at least today we are told that competent people like a psychiatry nurse, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist, and a senior person not lower than the director level, well, that may be not supposed to come in, because obviously when we get to the provinces, then they will have that interest, and to just say, this is what we were told. I'm not sure whether it will come with regulations or what, but it's something that I feel is of importance. It worries most of us, like with DG, to say that the bill just talks of officials, any official, you know, and it doesn't give any criteria of what type of an official are we talking about, and it's dangerous, in my opinion. What can be done in this instance? Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. maybe let me start with the destination of categorization of patients. I'll miss the first category. The second one is if there's a patient that may pose danger to himself or herself, then admitted. Then state patients, now we are getting them, or ministerial patients, whatever it is. Then, for instance, on the arbitrary one, I know it's not part of me just explaining, who decides that I'm a danger to myself and then I must be admitted? For instance, I was sick last year and I go to the clinic, Cape Town Mini Clinic. They took a lot of blood, 5 or 6 specimens of blood, and without them telling me what is the intention of those blood. When they were taking me to another test, I then saw on the list, tick, tick, tick. Within those tick, I saw HIV test. And I was saying to them, but in my understanding, when you test a person on HIV, the person must give you consent. And you must put through that patient or that person through a counseling period. But what you did to me, you just said, I must give you my hand, you took a lot of blood out of me. And I was telling them that I'm not going to be taking any results from you, because this HIV test run is yours, it's not mine. And I'm going to take you over this thing. I don't need it. And you just tell me. Now, by mistake, I'm saying this thing. So who determines that question? Two. Let me emphasize also what has been asked by member or raised by member before. In this thing, DG, it says, Section 72A, the head of the National Department may, in writing, delegate any power. And now you're saying delegate to, you are specifying verbal. I agree with him. And the in writing one, it does not specify to whom. And legislation, with the knowledge I know with the legislation, I used to deal with the legislation. With the knowledge that I know, when you do a bill or a legislation, if you are going to prescribe something outside the legislation through the regulation, you say it in a prescribed manner. It's missing here. So when we have another DG in the department, it will no longer be a person senior enough, not below the DG. It is not here, and if it is not here, it was supposed to be in a prescribed manner. So that the regulations that we follow here will describe the level of the delegation, and it is missing. So to me, it is a very omission that I was raising, to say a doctor, whoever decided that I must take those tests without my, how much more, because I was not even insane, how much more those that are mentally sick. So the psychiatrist, the psychologist, the DG, it's the director is not here. To me, it is very much to that omission. Thank you.
Honorable Ranto, followed by Honorable Papa, and
other honorable members that could.
Chairperson, I think the two members have asked the type of question that I was going to ask, because I'm worried. I am also worried about the fact that the DG will delegate. It says here on section 772A, subsection 1, the head of the National Department may in writing delegate any power conferred upon him or her, that is, if any person in the employ of the National Department. My problem, DG, is about you are delegating this power to a person in the National Department. My question is also about, is it also not going to take, because you already say you've got 3,000 cases, it's 3,000 patients, ne? Or 3,000, in addition to this, or if say an illustration in 2020, DG was required to authorize the transfer of 173 new state patients to health establishments. In addition to this, with a state patient population of well over 3,000, the demand placed on DG for reviewing the periodical report 6 months after admission, thereafter annually, is significant. This bill or this section really is it not going to do the same thing that it does on you? Is it not going to do the same thing in the next person that you delegate? Because I'm worried of the type of work that the next person is doing and the type of cases he or she's going to handle. Is it also not going to put a strain to the national? Is it not going to be, maybe, was it not going to be more lighter if it was going to a provincial department? That's my question, DG. And also, DG, I just wanted to say on your remarks, you said this second presentation or this second coming of the delegation from the Department of Health to us as a committee, it caused the delay to the committee work. I just wanted you to also understand that it affected the budget of the provinces also. As much as it affected our work as a committee, it also affected because provinces were represented last week, they are represented again this week. I just wanted you to ask more budget from the for the provinces now.
Honourable Father Popolo, the Honourable Governor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that all my colleagues on my right here, they also addressed this on 72A1, that the head of the National Department may in writing delegate any power conferred upon him and her by the fact of any person. Now, Madam Chair, there is no way that it can be to any person. I want that to be amended. If not, I will permanently pronounce my feeling about this to my province, and we will make an amendment that we will send back, because I cannot see that the department in legislation say that to any person. That person should have specific criteria. This any person can be an happy nurse that's just been appointed. How would that person be? That is any person, because she works at the Department of Health, National Department of Health. So I think that must be clearly cut on what that person's criteria should be. If it should be a psychologist, what type of specifications? There must be specifications, I believe, on that. If I'm wrong, please, anyone can then help me write. If there are clear-cut specifications that I don't know of, that is perhaps in another part of the bill which I'm missing out, please help me. But I believe that cannot go through like that. There should be at least specification on who that person should be. If it's not a specific person or specific title, then at least specific, there should be specific qualifications towards this person. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Well, just in line, I agree with what the colleagues here have said as well about the absence of criteria which define who these persons are who would receive the delegated powers. But to add on to that, and perhaps picking up what the colleagues from Gauteng said about the unit, would there also be a process where you would establish almost like a database of people who would actually be delegated these powers? Because that would also assist them, you know, people would then be registered. I think our concern also is that you could have a continuous movement of people, and the expertise and the would not be developed to actually deal with these matters. Thanks.
The other then? So you're fine. Yes. Over to you.
Thank you, honorable members. I just want to start with the point that was raised about Juan. It's a difficult one, but I would attempt to say what I think is provided for in law, and maybe it's a legal discussion. We do have a provision in the Mental Health Act that deals with a mentally ill prisoner and their transfer. And I would imagine that those provisions will apply. But in those instances where prisoners have to be transferred to health establishments, the magistrate would have been given advice, or they would have been appointed mental practitioners who provide recommendations to the magistrate recommending that transfer to a health establishment. So in those instances, I would imagine, because there's also international law that applies to Diwani, it goes beyond the provisions of the Mental Health Act. It will only be when one is imprisoned in South Africa that the provisions of the Mental Health Act will apply. But I guess the lawyers can clarify that. Honourable members, what I presented is what we discussed at length also with the Portfolio Committee, and I recognise the anxiety and the concerns. I think if the law is explicit and it's clear, it brings about certainty. And I also agree that perhaps it would be much better if the provisions are explicit and it specifies exactly who the delegation would be, who the DG would give delegations to. And in that respect, what I was trying to present here is to say these are the considerations, because in this regard we can't recommend the changes, but we could say that the concerns were raised about any person, that it can't just be any person. And when I read the orders, the court orders, these are, I mean, the ages range anything from 21-year-olds to 6-year-olds, and anything from those who have raped to those who have committed murder or serious bodily harm and so on. So when I studied the cases of those who have to be transferred, so I agree with the comments made by members. The proposal about whether the delegations, whether we should perhaps rather have this as a function in provinces. I just want to say that both the chapters that I referred to deal adequately with the responsibilities
of heads of health establishments. And those functions are actually written in law. It says exactly what the responsibilities of the health establishment is, and also the review board, because the review board actually a provincial competence. So it is actually expected that review boards will, on an ongoing basis, provide reports for the health of establishments, such that they should also report what the status of each of the state patient or the prisoner in the case that is the prison. But also for in the case that is a prisoner, the head of prisons also has certain responsibilities that are written in law, and there must be this ongoing communication between the head of prison and the head of the establishment. I thought I needed to clarify that. So the proposal of a unit, I think it's a good one, because then it also ensures that resources are allocated specifically for the state patient. And it's quite a lot of requests. I mean, on daily basis, I get about 3 or 4 of these transfers that have to be effected. Now, because it's a court order, I don't have an option. I can't say it can't be done. I implement the decision of the magistrate. In most instances, it's actually magisterial decisions that I'm implementing. Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very much. Yes, Honourable Dupac. Honourable.
If you can recall, actually, it was a concern that you actually noted last week, and then it has not been responded to. I know it has got nothing to do with the act as it is. I don't know if Mama Zoso. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the word properly. The name properly, and I'm sorry for that. I don't know if this presentation that you have just mentioned earlier on has to do with the concerns that we actually voiced last week. It's the concerns about the vagrants in the street. One would call them a vagrant, but they are the people in the street. And I must admit, it has always been my concern. Year in and year out, I've voiced that concern to the MECs, to the department. And I think I have been actually seconded and supported by the members in the National Assembly and also in the NCOP, that what is it that is going to make our government realize the fact that these people are in the streets and not on their own making, and that they can be taken into hospitals, institutionalized, for actually for us a very short time, and be given treatment, and even find a way of looking for their families, than for us to see them wrapped in so many plastic all around the country, and year in and year out, and we call ourselves a caring government. What is it that the department can do to really assist these people who, it is not on their own making that they find themselves in the street. But I don't know whether it has got to do with complications of them not knowing their names, sometimes not having IDs, whether that complicates things, but is there a way that we can address this issue? Mm-hmm. I think this is something that we really voiced, I think, 4 of us here, and it has not been answered. I know it's not part of this, but it's something that has always been truly wanted.
Yeah. No, she's very right. It's a great sharpening. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Let me also allow the hand down there. Honourable Clayton.
Chair, I'm not sure if I'm taking you back again, but I just want to raise this question, because I don't want to go out of this meeting thinking that I understand, but in actual fact I don't. I heard the DG's response on the question raised in terms of the delegation of powers to officials or any person. I heard you. But I am, from where I'm seated, I am thinking aloud about the implications. I understand that the powers that the DG is delegating is the power given to the DG by the Act. So the DG would use his or her discretion to delegate those powers to the official in the department, national department. That's my understanding. So the implication I was trying to seek is the implication if we specify to say a psychologist or a doctor within the department or let's say DG, the power is given to DG. Well, the DG is not there, and there are other competent officials who should actually execute that function, to give it to that junior function. What implication will then be if you have specified that that powers will go to another? Will that not be challenged? Or if the act is left, or the bill is left with the discretion that says it should be given to an official in the department competent to execute that function. That is the problem that actually the implication that I wanted to check. The other one, I saw it last week. It was rain, but I did not really respond to it, Chair, with your indulgence. It goes on and say, well, it's a parliamentary procedure that the bill we accept, that is Chapter 76. They then said that the bill will use the procedures of 75, because I don't know if it was 5.5 or 5.1. I'm not sure if I would have it here. It says the state law advisor and Department of Health are of an opinion that this bill must be dealt with in accordance with the procedure established by Section 75 of the Constitution, since it contains no provision to which the procedure set out in Section 7, 4, and 6 of the Constitution applies. And I was checking the implication.
Which document? Is it the legal opinion and which page?
No. The bill.
Okay, what page is that?
The last page. Page 404. Well, the memorandum of... It's written like that of the bill.
Okay. And the parliamentary procedure.
Yes.
Okay.
So now I was just checking the implication. That the bill will be checked in another section,
okay.
But the same bill will use processes of another section of the law. Whether is there no other or legal implication for that approach?
Yeah. Honorable DJ, can you respond to the question?
Thank you very much. I'll start with the first one about consent and consent to treatment that honorable member raised about people being subjected to, especially persons with incapacities. The National Health Act makes provisions for consent to treatment. So the provisions may not be in the Mental Health Act, but there is a provision in the National Health Act that provides some safeguards about consent treatment with people with incapacity or those who are not of age, children and so on. So those provisions already exist, and it means if consent is not given, they are in contravention actually of the National Health Act. The second one, with regard to people with mental illnesses that you know, out in the community, that are not receiving appropriate care. And this is how I would summarize this. I said earlier, honorable member, that we have actually a substantive presentation that we would make, and that's the one that I mentioned that we would be sharing with the portfolio committee. Now, because the committee today includes provincial members of legislature, if when you invite us, they may not be present. What I would suggest, if it's acceptable, is that we probably be given an opportunity to present the mental, because we have a mental health strategy, we've got the outcome of the summit and some of the declarations that were made. Quite substantive work has been done with regard to mental health. So I would suggest that perhaps if we could go from province to province and just present, repeat the same presentation, repeat it here and also in the provinces. I think that would be maybe benefit more members also, so that we know, because mental health is a big problem in South Africa, and I think it has been, to a certain extent, a neglected area, and perhaps this is one opportunity we have to address that. Much as this is just an administrative amendment, but there are other big, major, substantive issues on mental health that need attention. And I would suggest that if it's acceptable. The last question, Chair, there are two aspects to that question, and these are matters of law, and I think on this bench alone, we probably have five lawyers and one pseudo lawyer. And I would suggest that this pseudo lawyer does not provide a response to those two. We leave it to competent lawyers. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My response to the question that was posed by the honourable member with regard to the tagging, I want to sort of bring to the attention of the committee that the Department of the State Law Advisor merely proposed on the tagging. The body that classify or tag the bill is the JTM. So that ruling given by the JTM is the one that both houses have to abide with. So, and if I may also bring to the attention of the committee that Rule 158 of the Joint Rules, it says that both houses are bound by the rule of the JTM.
Now tell us about this clause 5.1 that refers to the procedure established by Section 75. How are you going to deal with it?
That is overruled by the JTM.
Okay, so we leave it as it is. There's no need for you to make any changes there on this clause.
That can also be corrected administratively. That is by the printers. So there's no sort of.
You want to come in? That is. Yeah. You want to come in?
I wanted to come on something. What I wanted to.
Before I allow members.
I wanted to respond on another issue that has been raised by the honourable member. With regard to the issue of us specifying to whom are we delegating, he has indicated that if you just say maybe a doctor or so, and then that person to whom the power is delegated is not in, and some competent person then is in a position to take that decision, what are the implications? Obviously, if you are acting without a delegation, you do not have an authority. And if you are challenged, then that's a serious problem. The other thing that at least maybe the committee must be mindful is that once you specify, you're also running the risk of eliminating those other people that might be competent. If you say a doctor, already you eliminated nurses and other social workers and everyone. And you might end up having a very long list of people that you might have to delegate. So, but it's up to the House to see how best, because we need your advice in terms of how best can we deal with the issue in terms of is it the burden that currently administratively rests with the DG. We have tried to come with that criteria. It might not be sufficient. We might have overlooked certain things. But the moment we go the route of specifying what you have not specified, then you cannot delegate. So that means that even in your recruitment process, you might have to then make sure that you have got all those people that have been classified so that at least they can be delegated.
Okay, thank you very much for the response. Do you want to comment on the issue of the Section 75 procedure?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand.
Yes, very true. In terms of the initial introduction of this bill to the Portfolio Committee, the Memorandum of Objects stated that this was a Section 75 bill, which this Memorandum of Objects were attached to that bill. But subsequently, the JTN took a ruling and made a decision that it should in fact be a 76 bill. So meaning the rest of the procedure, as the bill continues until adoption, it should be a 76 procedure.
We members, I can see what in the while I know that means yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Can we close this matter of 75, 76 sections of the Constitution clause once for all, and for all? We are not going back to Section 75 and 76. Something else. Honorable, where is the Honorable Jimenez? Honorable Roto's hand was up before you. I mean, Honorable Hand, followed by Honorable Jimenez.
I just wanted to respond on what Mahosh has just responded to me.
Oh.
In the case of delegating power, the concern here is not about the specific. It is about the specific people, ne? But specific people with specific skills or specific qualifications. That's the point. It can be a nurse, but if a nurse has those specific qualifications, that's the concern that we have. Because if it's any person who is senior, there are senior people who are sweeping floors in the mental health facilities or in the department. If we can be given a specific person with specific qualifications, thank you.
You have noted that. Honorable Sevilla?
Chairperson, from my understanding, this select committee this morning will decide at the end of this meeting on this bill, on the 76 bill, and not on this 75 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
On the maybe just to say as a word of advice that the department knows that we are dealing with provinces, and of course the issue of the criteria will be discussed in the provinces, and my understanding is that the provinces will advise us as to which amendment should come in.
Yeah.
And can we leave it at that?
We can leave it at that.
Respond? Do you want to respond to some of the issues that have been mentioned by Honorable Ranto? Okay.
Okay, I think it's
okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, let me take this opportunity to thank all the members. But first of all, let me just recap. The department is requesting to come and make a presentation on the provisions of mental services in South Africa. I think the committee all accepts that. That will be done in the third term. Yes. And I'm sure provinces have noted the fact that the department is also requesting to do the same in the provinces to our colleagues. And I think the next procedure, next step is to hold public hearings. I think our colleagues that are here will be able to sensitize us of the day that has been set aside for this particular public hearings where we are expected to participate in. We will be glad to know that. Yes, ma'am? Honorable Brock?
No, Chairperson, don't misguide us. We don't take part in public hearings. That is the a competency of the provinces.
I know.
Okay, I thought.
I know, but sometimes we have to for the briefing, yes. Okay, maybe briefing and public hearing doesn't matter, but at some stage we are expected to be there. Yeah. Okay, you will assist us in sensitizing us of the dates that have been sacrificed on that, yeah, for the briefing. And, So on that note, let me thank you very much, Gigi, with your team for coming and take us through this presentation and clarify the very important issue that was, confused most of us. Thank you very much. See you next time when you come to present.
Thank you very much.
Remember, not for 10.
We saw that.
Okay, can we confirm how 10? Tomorrow at 9. Okay. Taser 10?
Tomorrow.
Okay, any other provinces that has a date? Two states?
Not yet.
Northwest? Not yet. No? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll hear from you. Okay. Do you still have
minutes? Thank you very much.
So it's about building in some level of flexibility, not to limit the pool too much.
The provinces is the same thing.
You can just maybe set some broad parameters, not
Thank you.
Thank you.